Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Digital Diary. I am your host, Hannah Elise, and today is actually my 24th birthday. I'm recording this on April 24th. I am 24 today, my golden birthday, A-L-E-X-A, play golden. I don't think I need to tell you who it's by. You already know. But yeah, today is my birthday. How exciting. It kind of doesn't feel like my birthday today on the actual day because I have literally been celebrating all weekend. Today's just the actual day. It's Monday. Love that for me. 24 years have been completed. That's what's so interesting. So I don't know why I was recent years old when I guess put together that when you turn an age, that means you've completed that many years. Like obviously when you turn one, you have already lived a full year. So it makes sense. But I guess sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm entering my 24th year, but in reality, I'm entering my 25th year. I've completed 24 years. When I actually sat down and like thought about that and kind of realized that, I was like, oh my God, okay. So I'm technically in my 25th year, not in my 24th year, even though I just turned 24. Obviously, that makes a lot of sense and duh, but I never really thought about it until recently. Anyway, I'm really excited about today's episode because it is all about me. I'm also so humble. I hope you can tell that I'm being sarcastic, but actually this episode is going to be about me because I want to recap my birthday weekend and then I wanted to do 24 things I've learned in my 24 years. So I sat down and I brainstormed a list of lessons, if you will, that I've learned in my 24 years of life. And I have recency bias, obviously. So a lot of these I feel like are more recent lessons, but also I try to think back to past years and not just the most recent ones. Obviously, I don't have any lessons from like ages 1 through 10 because I don't know what was going on and I don't even remember that. I don't even think that that was me. I'm not positive, but yeah, I have those and I would like to go through them and chat through them. I'm really excited. I'm kind of on a birthday high. You know, when you wake up on your birthday and you like are getting texts from your friends and family and all that, and you're just kind of feeling good. That's how I feel right now. It's a beautiful day. It's sunny outside. The weather's great. I have my windows open. Not right now because I closed them because it's loud outside and I don't want anyone to be annoyed. Oh my God. Okay, sorry, I just got a funny text. I don't remember what I was saying, but let's just get into the episode, starting obviously with what I am drinking. And I love what I'm drinking today because it was free and it is my favorite thing from Starbucks. I was just thinking about this. I love that Starbucks does the birthday free drink. And like when they say free, they mean free. They're not like Dunkin', and I mean, no offense. I used to be a Dunkin' girl through and through when I lived in Pennsylvania because the Pennsylvania Dunkins were better, and also I had way less options than I do here. And all the times I've had Dunkin' here, it has just been so not good. But anyway, I love Dunkin' and all, but they do charge for like nut milks. Even when they say like you have a free drink, the free drink doesn't count the additions like oat milk or almond milk. Like, I find that fucked up because some people fully cannot drink regular milk and so they never get a free drink. Like, that just makes me sad. I luckily can drink like cow's milk, but I prefer almond or oat in my coffee. So I just find that kind of rude. But Starbucks, they mean when they say free drink, they mean free drink. You can add as much shit as you want. Like, I could make this drink like $10, which I mean wouldn't really be honestly that hard. But I could make this drink fully $10 and add everything on the menu and it would be free, completely free. And I love that. So, of course, I started my morning with a birthday Starbucks run. One of my favorite parts of my birthday, honestly, I got my venti iced brown sugar oat milk shaken espresso with 2 pumps of cinnamon dolce. I love ordering it in person. I almost did it through the app, but I wanted to have, first of all, human interaction for the day. I just thought that would be fun. I don't know why I thought that. I never truly think that that would be fun. But when it's my birthday, I'm just like in a better mood. I don't know. I got up there and I ordered. And then when you have the birthday reward on your app, like they just scan your regular like barcode thing that is connected to your stars and your however much money you have in there. And so you usually have to ask, like, can I use my stars for this? Like, when you have a 150 stars and you want to get a free drink, you say, like, can I redeem my stars? So I was like, can I redeem the birthday reward on there? And she was like, of course, happy birthday. And that's why I love doing it in person, because then they'll say happy birthday to you and it makes me happy. Anyway, that's what I got this morning for my coffee and I love it. Oh my God, it's so good. It just hits every time. All right, let's begin with my birthday recap. So Saturday was the first day of the weekend long celebration, and Saturday is the day that we did the most stuff. I decided for my birthday this year that I wanted to have a picnic, and I came to this decision because I was thinking about like organizing a dinner, because I feel like that's what most people do, just like get all their friends together and have dinner somewhere. But in the city, a lot of the places, when you're booking for parties over like 6 or 8, you A, have a smaller like fixed menu, and you B, have to pay in advance at a lot of the places, like per person. I wanted to do it at La Pecora because that's my favorite restaurant, but it actually was so expensive per person. It like would have been way cheaper if we just went and everyone ordered their own stuff. Like it would be significantly cheaper per person. So I didn't want to ask anyone to pay that much money for my birthday dinner. And also, I had to pay it up front, and also, the menu would be smaller, and also, I didn't know exactly how many people were actually going to show up, so I didn't want to, like, put out a number and then pay that and then have not that many people actually come to the dinner. So that was just way more, like, moving parts. I don't know. I honestly am not someone who typically celebrates my birthday with like a bunch of friends. I feel like the last birthday party I probably had was when I was maybe like 11. I don't know. I haven't done like a birthday party or really a gathering of any kind beyond just with my family in probably a decade for a lot of reasons. First of all, I just feel like I'm inconveniencing people by asking them to show up and do something for me, which is sad. No one makes me feel that way. I just have that in my head. It's like my own problem, but there's that. And then there's also the fear that literally no one's gonna come. No one's gonna show up, because that I would feel fucking terrible. And my birthday is supposed to be a time where I'm like happy and not feeling terrible. So I just kind of avoid all of those things by not doing anything at all, which is fine. I always have something with my family. Every year we'll get together, even if it's just like my parents, my grandma, and like and my aunt. We have something. We have a little family dinner usually. But now I live in New York. My family lives in Pennsylvania. So I am not with them on this birthday. My parents are actually coming to visit me for a weekend, and we're going to celebrate then. But this year, I just decided I wanted to have a little gathering with friends. This was a big decision for me. It doesn't seem like it's that big, but it was for me because of all the things that I just said. But I actually feel like I have friends now, and enough friends that like they would come. And even if all of them couldn't come, like there's at least going to be a couple people there, you know? Like I have a really good group of people here, and I have different groups of people here. So I felt more comfortable doing that. And everybody else, all of my other friends do things for their birthdays. So I'm like, I'm going to do something for mine. And we ended up deciding to do a picnic. And when I say we, I mean Amanda and I, because she kind of, I don't remember even what the conversation was. We were on FaceTime and we were talking about what I want to do for my birthday because it was getting close. And I was like, honestly, I don't even want to do anything because I don't feel like dealing with any of it. Like, it's just too much. But we decided that we should just have a picnic in Central Park because that is so low stakes. It's so easy. Like, people can come, bring a blanket, bring a snack, and just like chill in the park. It was just a lot. It felt a lot more accessible and a lot easier to set up and plan. It's just really like an open invite type of thing. I was like, that's a great idea. And I've wanted to do a picnic in Central Park for the longest time. Can you guys believe that I have lived here for a year and a half? And up until this point, I have never gone to Central Park and just like had a picnic, like brought a little blanket and just sat down and had a picnic. I haven't had a picnic in, I don't even know the last time I did, but I love picnics. I think that they're so fun, and I've been wanting to do one for a while, so what better time than for my birthday? So that is what we decided to do. I have to give the biggest shout out to Amanda for everything that she did for this. I honestly don't think that I would have done it without her, because it was too much for me to do by myself. She drove to me from Hoboken. She picked me up. She surprised me with balloons. I didn't even get balloons for myself, but she literally ordered balloons, pink ones, and surprised me with them. She got me a sweet gift. She drove me to the cake place to pick up my cake. She drove us to the park. She helped me carry stuff to the park. She helped me set up the picnic. Like, she literally got there before everyone else and left after everyone else just to help me. And she's such a good friend. Like, I'm so grateful that she did that, because truly, if it wasn't for her, I really don't think I would have done this. Like, I wouldn't have done it completely by myself. I needed help, and she is just literally the best friend. Love her so much. Amanda, I think you're probably listening to this. I love you, and I appreciate you so much. I ordered a cake from Magnolia. I bought stuff for a charcuterie board and just went to the park, laid down my picnic blanket, set up the board, set up everything else. It was just such a nice time. Like, the whole thing was so nice. The weather was perfect, which in April, you really never know. It could really start raining at any given time. And it was saying in the forecast leading up that it could rain, and I was getting nervous. But when we got there, it was the kind of cloudy that it's still sunny. Like, the skies weren't blue, but it was still sunny, if that makes sense. The weather was perfect. It was like a smooth 70. I was wearing a cute little dress, and we were just sitting in Central Park having a birthday picnic. Like, that is so main character, and I'm sorry if that's cringy, but I felt like the main character in that moment. I really live in New York City. I forget that a lot, because I don't think my brain can comprehend it even now, but sitting in Central Park having a picnic for my birthday just made it all, like, feel so real. And I was like, this is so cool. Like, this is awesome. Like, what could be better, honestly? So I had a bunch of my friends that came and just sat and hung out with me in the park for a few hours, and it was so much fun. I'm just so grateful that I have these friends in my life. I'm really happy that I got to celebrate with them, and we just had such a nice little afternoon. Then we packed up the picnic and we're gonna go home. It literally started raining as soon as we were leaving, so thank God we left when we did, but we all just kind of dispersed for a little bit, and then Amanda, Emma, and Lena came back to my apartment later that night, and we had a little pregame at my apartment, and during the pregame, it started, like, aggressively pouring and thunderstorming, so we had plans to go to a bar. And when it started aggressively thunderstorming, we were like, but then we decided that we were still gonna go. And I'm glad we did, because it was really fun. The music was really good. We were just all like, we kept those good vibes going. Saturday was such a great day. It just, everything was perfect. It was exactly what I wanted and what I pictured. Just a literal full day celebration. It was so much fun. So I literally went to bed at 4 a.m. Saturday. Well, technically, I guess Sunday. And then Sunday, yesterday, we went to dinner. Me, Amanda, Emma, and Lena. We went to La Pecora, of course, because what other place would I have my last meal of 23 at than there? I got my rigatoni pasta with burrata. I just love La Pecora. It feels like home to me. I've just been there so many times at this point. It's so bad. We literally got sat, and Emma and I got our menus, and we immediately started singing, I don't need this menu. No, I don't. Because we don't. We probably could recite the entire menu front and back. It's bad. And Emma doesn't even live here. So that's how you know it's bad. We really do go a lot. So we had dinner there. Oh, and before that, we went to the Starbucks Reserve in Chelsea, and we got espresso martinis at the Starbucks Reserve. And I've literally always wanted to do that. I've been to the Starbucks Reserve before, but I've never gotten espresso martinis. Like, I've never been to the bar part. I've just gotten coffee. So we got little espresso martinis made with Starbucks coffee, which was just so fun. Like, I loved that place. I will definitely be going back. It was very fun. It was cool. And that was a nice little, like, I guess pregame, but we only had one. espresso martini. So that was really fun too. I really had the best weekend, Saturday and Sunday. Everything was literally perfect and it was exactly what I wanted and it's all I needed. And it just filled my cup up so much. So that's really that. And then now we are back to the present, to today, my actual birthday. And I don't have any plans today because I've already done all of the other things. Like, I've celebrated in all the different ways, had a picnic, went out, had dinner, you know. All I really have planned today is I have work stuff to get done. I don't know if I'm gonna get dinner later or something. I don't know. I'm kind of playing it by ear, but got my Starbucks this morning. I've been responding to text messages from my friends and family, and it's just been really nice. As I said, sun is shining, birds are chirping, and it's a beautiful day to turn 24. So that's my little birthday recap. Overall, I would honestly rate this birthday a 10 out of 10 because everything just was perfect and I felt so good all weekend. Now I want to get into my list of 24 things I've learned in my 24 years. These are all lessons of some sort that I've learned in my life and that I think are valuable. Some of them are more serious than others, but here is my list. These are my lessons in no particular order. Number one, rest is just as important as productivity. This is definitely more of a recent lesson in the last few years, but it is such an important one. I, for some reason, used to think that resting equaled being lazy, but it's quite the opposite. Rest is necessary for productivity, because if you don't let yourself rest and you are just go, go, go all the time and you're only prioritizing productivity, you're going to burn out. And your body, it needs a break, whether you give your body a break or it forces you to take one. But eventually, you have to rest. It's impossible for us as humans to just go, go, go nonstop with no rest or no breaks. There's nothing wrong with resting. It's important. It's needed. It's crucial. And it's just as important as productivity. Number two, you can't fight every battle. This is something I used to try to do when I was younger. If I felt wronged or disrespected or I don't know anything, I would really take on all of that. And I would try to fight every single battle because I never wanted to feel like somebody else was like getting one over on me or getting away with something, I guess. But as I've gotten older, I've realized you fully cannot fight every battle because it's mentally exhausting. And as you grow up, you're taking on way more responsibilities just because you're getting older, and that's just how it works. So I don't have the mental capacity or the energy to fight every battle. You really have to pick and choose when you want to actually fight a battle. I have gone from trying to like fiercely be outspoken and defend myself on everything to really just letting some things go, and not in a cowardly way, not in a way of like letting people get away with things, but more in a way of I'm protecting my peace, and that looks like me not acknowledging something. Because there are times that I think it's really important to stand your ground and to vocalize when you feel that something isn't right or to stand up for yourself. There are 100% times for that, but it's not every single time. Gross disrespect, I won't deal with. But little things that I maybe used to react to, I won't react to anymore. I'll react internally, but I'll kind of hold myself back from actually reacting to the person or reacting out, because sometimes that leads to more harm than good. And I also just don't have the energy to do that or to deal with the potential harm that would come from it. I don't have the energy to deal with it. I need to prioritize things that are actually important to myself and my goals, and fighting every single battle is not important to me. Like, I would rather put my energy towards bettering myself and doing things to advance myself than that. Number three, things will work themselves out, even when you feel like they won't. Even when you feel like things are just ruined, everything's ruined and you're a failure, that's not true. Because things are gonna work themselves out. If you give them time and you let life play out, you will see how things are going to mend themselves. Not everything is in your control. You have to control what you can control and let the rest work itself out, because it will. I've seen it in my own life in just the last few months even. I have come to these impasses where I've felt like nothing's going right and I don't know how it's ever going to go right because, you know, nothing's happening and nothing's working. But I've literally just kept going and I have seen things start to work themselves out. Whether it's in the exact way that I thought they would, or it's in another way, or maybe this will make you appreciate when things do work out. I don't know. But things will work themselves out. Number four, I've learned that most people come into your life for a season or a reason. And then some people come into your life for life. Not everybody comes into your life and is meant to be there forever. Some people are meant to only be there for a season of your life. And then once that season passes, there doesn't have to be anything, you know, happening. There doesn't have to be a falling out, but you just aren't as close. Sometimes people are there for a reason. You may need a certain type of person or a certain friend or something at a certain point in your life to help you through. And they might come into your life when you're looking for that, and that's their reason. But they aren't necessarily supposed to be in your life forever, which that can be really hard. Because when someone comes in your life for a reason and they teach you something and they help you realize something and help you through something, and then you end up like not being in each other's lives forever, it can just be really confusing. And it also feels disheartening sometimes when you're getting way more of people who are in your life for seasons or reasons and not as many who are there for life. But in reality, you don't need a ton of people that are there for life. Those people are really special. And everyone always says like people like that are hard to come by, but it is so true. They're really once in a blue moon people. And you may feel like you need to surround yourself with just like so many people and have all of them be like lifers and be in your life forever. You may feel like you need all of that to feel fulfilled, but I've learned that you don't. As long as you have one or two, maybe a handful of people that you genuinely trust with your life and like you know that they are going to be in your life forever, that is all you need. Next, number five, blocking someone is not petty. I hate the discourse around blocking. Like sometimes when people will say, oh, like they blocked me, like haha type of thing, kind of like trying to clown them or make them seem like they're stupid for blocking you. No. Blocking is not petty. Like, if you think that someone blocking you is you winning or you getting one over on them, babe, I hate to break it to you, but you need to be so fucking for real. People block other people because they don't want to see them. They don't fuck with them. If I block you, I don't fuck with you. I don't want to see you. I don't want you stressing me out on my own phone. Blocking is a way to protect your peace. I stand by that. I'm a big advocate of blocking. My response when someone is being done like tremendously wrong by somebody, I'm like, block them. Just stop, delete their number and block them. Protect your peace. Blocking is not petty. Number six, you are allowed to change your mind / pivot in life, in your direction and what you think you want to do. You're not married to anything. This doesn't count for people. If you are actually married, that doesn't count for that. But I mean like what you want to do with your life, what you want to pursue, your goals, your dreams. You're allowed to change your mind on those things and pick something else and pivot if you decide to. I think specifically to college with this one, when I was in high school, like you were supposed to pick your major and that was supposed to be like what you were going to do for the rest of your life. And they wanted you to pick that when you were 17 or 18 years old, which I mean, obviously, when you say that out loud, it sounds ridiculous because it is. But I thought that that's how it was because that's really the only option we were ever given for how things should be. But what they failed to mention was that that, first of all, is not even the case. And second of all, you're not ever married to anything. You can change your mind. You can go in a different direction. It doesn't have to just be you pick something and you're stuck with it the rest of your life. That just is not how it works. I changed my major like 3 times in college. I think that they told us when we got to college that the average amount of times that someone changes their major is 3. And I changed my major 3 times because I was trying different things. I was learning what I liked and what I didn't. And I made decisions to adjust my trajectory in life based on those things. And that is the point of life. Learning things, learning what you like and what you don't, and using those things to direct yourself and your end goal and what you want out of life. That's literally what you're supposed to do. That is the point. And it is completely okay to think that you want to do something or go somewhere and then change your mind and pivot and do something else, try something else. Because why not? You're not tied down to anything. You're allowed to do something different if you want to. 7, this is a big one, and especially one that I've learned since moving out on my own, and that is to be comfortable spending time alone and to be your own best friend. Moving out, living alone, I have learned so much about myself, and I've also grown in ways that I probably wouldn't have if I didn't take this step. But beyond just that, I have just gotten so comfortable doing things by myself and just enjoying my own company and being okay with just spending time alone or going out and doing things alone. That can be scary, going out and doing things alone, because there's the safety aspect and you feel safer, there's power in numbers. But sometimes, you know, if somebody can't come with you, or people don't want to do what you want to do, you can't hold yourself back because of that. You can't limit yourself to only what your friends also want to do, because there's no way to grow that way. I mean, you learn so much. There's so much discovery to be made when you are comfortable spending time alone and you're willing to do things alone, even if it's a little scary at first or it makes you uncomfortable. In order to become comfortable with something, you have to do it enough times that you become comfortable with it. It will be less scary and less uncomfortable the more that you do it, because you're proving to yourself that you can do it every time. I just think that it's so valuable to enjoy your own company and be okay with just being by yourself and doing things by yourself, because at the end of the day, the only person that you have is you. The only person that is 100% always going to be there. And the only person that you can control whether or not they're going to be there is yourself. Because the only person you can control, period, is yourself. You have the power to make sure that you are always going to be there for yourself. And you can't do that with anyone else because you can't control them. 8. This is a really hard one for me. But it's to accept that you cannot control what other people say about you or think of you. I just said, obviously, you can't control anyone other than yourself. In this context, this is really hard for me to accept. And it's been hard forever. Because going back to my you can't fight every battle thing, I used to fight every battle of when other people would say things about me that were not representative of my character or straight up not true. I would fight every single battle of that. And be like, you know, like fight against that and defend myself. But as I've gotten older, I've realized what is the fucking point? You cannot control what other people say about you or what they think of you. If someone does not want to like you, they have their mind made up and they want to say whatever they want about you and they want to make other people believe what they think, even if it's not true, there's literally nothing you can do about that. You're fighting a losing battle if you're putting your energy into trying to like stop that or to change every single narrative. You fully cannot change every single narrative. You can't be in control of those things, because when other people are involved, you don't have all the control. The only time you have all the control is over yourself. So not only do you need to recognize that you can't control what other people say about or think of you, You have to accept it, because accepting it means you're deciding not to give it power over you. And that is going to make you feel like a weight is literally being lifted off your shoulders. I'm not even at that point yet. This is still really hard for me, especially when people go out of their way to try to make other people think a certain way about me that isn't me, or it isn't like who I truly am as a person, because I know who I am as a person. And I am really happy with her because I've worked on who I am a lot, and I've been through a lot, and I've fucked up a lot, and I've learned a lot, and I'm proud of where I am today. And people who are dead set on not liking me, they don't give a fuck about that, first of all. They're going to say whatever they want. They're going to tell everybody that I'm a terrible person, even though I know I'm not. But it's so hard for me to know that that narrative is out there when that's just so not how I feel about myself. And I want other people to see what I see in myself. But at the end of the day, there's nothing I can do about it. And if I'm putting my energy into that and I'm trying to fight every single battle, control the narrative, and I'm like sitting and stressing about those things, I'm just wasting my energy. There's nothing I can do. I can't control it. I can't change people's minds. I can't stop people from saying things. I can't stop people from thinking things about me. So I have to be okay with that. It's hard. It really is. And I'm still working on that. But at least I know that that's what I have to do. At least I've gotten to that point. That's better than nothing. Number 9, clothes are meant to fit you. You are not meant to fit clothes. Clothes were made in the first place because people needed clothes, not because clothes needed people. They're meant to fit you. They're meant to protect you. You're not meant to fit into them. That's why there's so many stores. There's so many different types of clothing. There's so many, you know, fits of clothing, because you're supposed to find the ones that fit you and they're good for you. You don't have to try to put yourself in a category, a size category, for example, because sizes, first of fucking all, let's just say, women's sizing is fucked up. I literally own multiple pairs of jeans from Abercrombie in the same size. And one time I got a pair that were in the next size up and they were smaller. They were fucking smaller. They were tighter than the ones that were one size down. That literally happens all the time. And not only just with one specific brand and like sizing it within the brand itself, like a pair of shorts that's one size could be smaller than a pair of jeans that should be the same size because they are the same size on the tag, but like sometimes they just are not the same size. They're literally bigger or smaller. And then when you go to different brands, like one size in one brand could be a completely different size in another. Some things run small, some things run big. The sizing thing is just fucked up. It's not like a uniform thing, sizing. It's just a fucking free-for-all. So with that in mind, and I'm not just saying that to make people feel better or to make myself feel better, like, oh, things fit differently. It's physically true. Like some things are genuinely bigger and some are smaller, but they could be the same size. And it makes you think that there's something wrong with you. And when I say you, I mean me. It sometimes makes me think something wrong with me if I'm like, well, I fit into this and this other brand, so why don't I fit into it? This is the same size. Like, what's wrong with me? Like, it's definitely my fault. No, it's fucking not. It's the clothes' fault. It's literally the clothes' fault, not you. Clothes are meant to fit you. You're not meant to fit clothes. If a size in one brand fits you and a size in another doesn't, that's literally fine. Just get a different size. No one else can see what size you're wearing. No one else can see what the inside of the tag says. All that matters is that you are wearing something that you are comfortable in and that you feel good in and that you feel is flattering on you. That's it. That's all that matters, is how you feel in your clothes. I have squeezed myself into sizes that weren't for me because I didn't want to let go of being that size. I didn't want to accept that I wasn't that size anymore, which is ridiculous. It's just not that deep. It's really not that deep. Buy shit that you feel good in. That's all that matters. It's really that simple. My next one is that your comfort zone is a beautiful place, but nothing ever grows there. This is something I have said so many times because of my mom. I always credit her with this quote. She probably didn't come up with it, but she's the one that said it to me. So I always say that this is my mom's quote. If you've been listening to this podcast, you've probably heard me recite this before, but it's exactly what it says. Your comfort zone is a beautiful place because it's comfortable and it's what you know. But your growth there is limited. You truly can't grow into everything that you are meant to become until you exit that zone, because beyond your comfort zone is all of the possibility for your life. But you have to exit your comfort zone in order to do that, and that can be really scary and uncomfortable because you're no longer in that space that you know, and you're going into uncharted territory. But that is where the growth is. You have to leave your comfort zone in order to reach growth. Number 11, this is a really important lesson, and I want everyone to start doing this because it truly makes a difference, and I have customer testimony to prove it. Drink liquid IV before and after going out. One packet before, one packet after. Trust me. I tell everyone this. And I told my one friend this, and they did it. And they came back to me the next morning, and they were like, you were right. And they felt like brand new. So drink liquid IV before and after going out. It's a game changer. And if you don't drink liquid IV at all or something like that, like a hydration booster, you need to start. Number 12, not everyone approaches things the same way as you do, and that is okay. When I say this, I mean, sometimes I will think like, oh, I wouldn't do this to someone, or I wouldn't say this to someone. This is kind of hard to explain, but I kind of have my own set of ideas on like what you should and shouldn't do with other people or to other people. I have things that are considerations for me that may not be for others, and vice versa. Sometimes I feel like if someone else doesn't consider something, that they just don't care. But not everyone approaches things the same way as you do. Not everyone has that same set of considerations. It doesn't mean that they don't like you or that they're not a good person. Just not everyone has the exact same mindset on everything, and not everyone goes into everything the exact same way. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with you or the other person, unless you're actually doing something like disrespectful. It's not even necessarily if they wanted to, they would, because not everyone has the same thought. This is so hard to explain. I really don't even know how to explain it, but it's like, just because somebody else doesn't approach things or see things the same way as you do, or wouldn't just like spontaneously do something for you that you would do for them, doesn't mean they don't like you. It's just that they don't have that same set of, I don't know, ideas or considerations that you do. And that's okay. Okay? I don't know. I hope that made sense. Anyway, number 13, don't let past hurt close you off forever. This goes for pretty much everything. Relationships, romantic ones, friendships, other things that you've tried and they haven't worked out and they hurt you. Don't let past hurt close you off from doing those things forever. Don't let a past relationship that ended badly close you off from love forever. Don't let a past friendship that ended really badly close you off from making friends and going out of your way for people and loving people forever, because it's a human experience to be knocked down and to be hurt by things. Not everyone is gonna come into your life and never hurt you. As I said, some people are there for seasons, reasons, and some are there for life, but most people are there for a season or a reason. Sometimes the reason is for them to teach you a lesson, and sometimes the way they teach you that lesson is by hurting you. And you may think, why is this happening? Why did I deserve this? Why do I have to go through this? But that person is there, or was there, to teach you something that you needed to learn in order to move on with your life and grow as a person and move on to bigger and better things. Don't let past bad experiences with things like love close you off from love forever, because that would be doing yourself a disservice, and it would also be giving way too much power to whoever hurt you in the past. Don't let them have that power over you. The real strength is in getting knocked down and getting back up again. Number 14, I've learned that my mom is somehow always right. She used to tell me things in high school about like how I would feel in the future. She would even say things about like certain people. And I was like, no, no way. That's not going to happen. It did. It did. I don't know. She has like a sixth sense for things. It's creepy. Like she somehow is always right. I don't know. But I've just learned to accept that because enough things have happened that she's told me that I didn't believe at first and then they've happened and I was like, oh, okay. So my mom is just somehow always right. Number 15, don't let the opinions of others keep you from following a dream. This one I think specifically of my YouTube channel and social media and posting on social media. I feel like the number one question that I get asked from people is how do I start posting on social media without worrying about what people are going to think of me? Like, how do I deal with people making fun of me for posting on social media? Like, I want to do this, but I'm afraid of what people will think. All of those things. And literally, my advice to every single person who says that is do what you want and fuck everybody else. The opinions of others, honestly, don't matter. Well, okay. The opinions of others matter sometimes, but when it comes to something like this, like you following a dream and you're just doing something that you want to, that makes you happy and that you're excited about, if people have negative shit to say about that or they're making fun of you or they think it's like corny or whatever, that doesn't matter at all because they are losers and they're projecting. They're probably just internally insecure that they can't do that because they don't have the courage to, like you do. And they want everyone else to be on the same level as them. They don't want to see people doing things that they know that they can't do because they don't have the courage to. And so they are taking that out on you and clowning when you do something that's just making you happy. You just simply can't let the opinions of other people keep you from pursuing something that you really want to do. Because also at the end of the day, you are the only person who is living your life. You're the only person who's walking in your shoes every day. You have to go to bed every night and wake up every morning and look in the mirror and face yourself. You have to live your life every day, not everybody else. So really, what they think has no weight on your decisions because they're not the ones that have to face the consequences of them or the benefits of them. You are. Number 16. I don't want this to come off the wrong way. And it definitely could come off the wrong way, but for number 16, I wrote, college is low-key a scam. As somebody who did go to college, did graduate from college, did pay a lot of money for college, I think it's low-key a scam. Not completely a scam, because I think that there are a lot of valuable things to be learned from going to college, but also I want to say that you don't have to go to college if you don't want to. Like, there's so many different ways to get to your end goal. So there's different paths for everybody. It's not for everybody, and that's completely okay. But I do think it is low-key a scam. And the reason I think that is because of gen eds. If you're not familiar, gen eds, general education classes, are classes that you have to take in college that have nothing to do with your major. And they claim that the reason you have to take this is so that you become more well-rounded as a person. I'm so sorry. I took so many random gen eds just to fulfill the requirements because you quite literally cannot graduate without them. Some colleges make you take like gym classes in college. So you have to take like some type of activity class and you have to pay for it. Thousands of fucking dollars. And that wasn't a thing at either of the colleges I went to. Like, you didn't have to take like a gym class of some kind to graduate. But I know people who do. Like, it's literally required and you can't graduate without it. It's like one of your gen eds. What the fuck do you mean? You're telling me you're making people pay like $3,000 to like run every day? What? I thought we were past that. I thought we were done with that. That's why I think it's low-key a scam. Because you go to college and you have a major and you want to learn things about that major so you can get a job in that field. So if my major is marketing, how is studying like birds and bird ecosystems going to help me in marketing? It's not. why am I paying you $3,000 to learn about this when I don't want to? I just have to pick something because you said I had to, and pay you thousands of dollars to learn about something that has nothing to do with what I want to do in my life. And like, it's required. You cannot get a college degree without it. That is crazy to me. College, in all reality, could be 2 years. Like, you could get your bachelor's degree in 2 years if you cut out all the gen eds, and you would save literally half the money. I think that I learned really valuable things in college, in the classroom and outside of it. I honestly feel like I learned more valuable things outside of the classroom, just being in the environment. And it was a very formative time of my life. And I did learn a lot. And I am glad that I went, because I think that it shaped me in a lot of good ways. But the fact that, first of all, college is as expensive as it is, and they're making you take classes that you have no interest in just because they say you have to, and then they're charging you exorbitant amounts of money for them, is fucking crazy to me. Okay, number 17. This is a really important one. Being a good person doesn't mean being perfect. It means trying your best and owning up to your faults when they happen, because they will. We're all human. I feel like sometimes it can feel like if you are not perfect and you've never done anything wrong ever in your life to anybody, then you're not a good person. And I think also the internet can make you feel that way. If you fuck up or you do something bad and you don't own up to it, that's a problem. But if you do own up to it and you learn from that and you don't do it again, I don't think that that makes you a bad person. Unless you're like killing people. See, there's nuance to everything. Overall, I think that just being a good person does not mean you have to be perfect, because nobody is perfect. Being a good person means you're just trying your best. And if you fuck up, you own up to it and you learn from it and you grow and you move on. You don't do it again and you do better. That's it. Number 18, a lesson I learned when I was younger. I learned the Heimlich maneuver from The Suite Life of Zack and Cody. How to do the Heimlich maneuver. And from that, I did the Heimlich maneuver one time on one of my cousins, fully just from having seen it on The Suite Life of Zack and Cody. She was choking on a grape one time, and it was just us. And I fully did the Heimlich maneuver, and she spit the grape like it flew out of her mouth. So, yeah. I love telling people that that's where I learned it from. They're like, are you serious? Like, are you sure? I'm like, yeah. I literally never saw it anywhere else. It was just there. That was so many years ago. I was like maybe 10, maybe younger. But I did learn that, which is great. Number 19, get out of your hometown. You can always go back. But if you don't ever leave, you're not going to experience life outside of that. And I just think it's so important to be in different environments and to see different environments and get out of the one that you know. Because, I mean, at least in my experience, when I left my hometown for college, it was like a whole new world. I didn't know. There were things that I didn't know existed until I saw them when I left my hometown. There's just so much to see and learn outside of the bubble you grew up in. If it is a bubble, not saying that your hometown is a bubble, but if it is, mine was, it's really important to step outside of that. And if you don't like it or you want to do something else, you can always go back. You always can go back. But I think it's just really beneficial for you as a person. And it was really, really beneficial for me as a person to get out and see the world outside of it, because there's a whole world outside of your hometown. Number 20, I have literally never used the Pythagorean theorem, but I do use algebra quite often. I do a lot of mental algebra. I actually do. When I'm trying to calculate like what a percentage of something is, I will fully in my head map out an equation and be like X over blah, blah, blah equals whatever. You know, I do catch myself doing mental algebra often. So I do feel like that was very helpful to know. And probably why they teach it when you're young. But everything else, like I've never used the Pythagorean theorem. I've never used calculus. in my day-to-day life. I guess I've used geometry, but only like very basic, like how to calculate the area of something geometry. Like if I was in school and I'm like, I'm never going to use this, I probably haven't used it. Except for algebra. I do use algebra, so pay attention in there if you are younger. Number 21, life after college is a free-for-all. I was just talking to some of my friends about this the other day. When you are younger and you're in school, you always know what your next move is because you have another grade ahead of you. Like if you're in the fifth grade, the next thing you're doing is the sixth grade and so on and so forth. If you go to college, you're like, okay, well, at least now I'm graduating high school, but I know I'm going to college and then I'm going to have 4 years of that. So you know what's next and there's a plan mapped out for you. But once you are done with school and you've completed the last level of school that you're doing, dude, after that, it's a complete free-for-all. It's a complete blank canvas, and it is up to you to decide what you want to do, which is really jarring. When you don't have that anymore, you're like, now what? You're almost looking to other people and like, what are you guys doing? Like, what am I supposed to be doing? But there's really no map after that. That's like, well, you do this, and then you do this, and then you do this. Some people might try to tell you that there is, but in reality, it's a free-for-all. And that can be really intimidating, as I just said, or it can be inspiring. It's all about perspective and how you look at it and what you decide to do with it. Because on one hand, it's like you have to come up with everything, which is really overwhelming. But on the other hand, you get to come up with everything so you can map your own path. You can march to the tune of your own drum. It does take a second, at least it did for me, to get your footing after you're done with school and try to like be like, what am I exactly doing? And I am 2 years post-grad from college and I still struggle with this, but I don't think it's something that you have to be like excellent at right off the bat. You're allowed to try and fail and you're allowed to figure things out as you go. It'll figure itself out eventually. As I said in number 3, things will work themselves out. Even if you don't know exactly what you're doing right now, that's okay because you will figure it out. You'll get your footing. You'll become more comfortable with it. It's uncomfortable at first, but again, as I said, in order to become comfortable doing something, you have to do the uncomfortable thing a lot. Number 22, I've learned that spending money on experiences is better than spending money on things. I would rather spend my money on an experience, whether it's travel, a concert, an experience, than spend my money on a tangible object. Because I've found that experiences are way more unable to be replicated or replaced. Whereas things, you can probably find another one that's similar. If you lose a thing, you can probably replace it. But experiences are way more of like a once in a lifetime unique thing. I just would rather spend my money on experiences. That's why I go to so many concerts and I have done traveling in the past month. And I think all of those things were money well spent because I have amazing memories from them. They're like core memories now for me. But I've spent money on things before that I've been like, first of all, this was not worth it. I could have spent this money on an experience and felt better about it. But also things can be replaced and replicated more easily than experiences, in my opinion. Number 23, I believe that investing in real gold jewelry is worth it. And my main reason for this is because it does not tarnish. You pay more, obviously, up front, but you're able to keep those pieces for a long ass time. They all say like, oh, forever. So, I mean, if it's real quality gold, you should be able to keep it forever. It's seen more as an investment because you're spending more up front. But if you think about it, if you're buying jewelry that's not real gold and it's not like obviously as expensive up front, you'll have it for maybe like a year or two. It'll tarnish and then you have to buy something else. So you're spending money, but it's just in increments. And you could probably end up spending the same amount of money over time as the real gold thing cost in the first place. But it's just almost an easier pill to swallow to spend smaller amounts of money at different times. Because sometimes it doesn't compute that like those things are literally just adding up to the price of the more expensive thing I love my real gold jewelry. I have two necklaces and a bracelet that are real gold, and I never take them off. I shower with them. I sleep with them. They are on my body all the time, and they look as good as the day that I bought them. And then finally, lesson number 24, thought this was a good one to end on, is don't wish away your time. Cliche, I know, but it is so true. When I was younger, all I wanted was to be a grown-up. I looked at older people and I was like, they're so cool. I can't wait till I have that ability to do things. I can't wait until I have my own independence. I can't wait until I have whatever, whatever that you get when you're older. And don't get me wrong, I love having independence. And I love so many of the things that have become available to me as I've gotten older. You know, I've gotten my driver's license, I can drive a car. Like, when I was younger, I was like, oh, I just can't wait until I can just drive a car and drive my own car. I spent so much time when I was younger wishing I was older and wishing I had all of those things that I didn't appreciate how little responsibility I had when I was younger. Life gets a lot more complicated as you get older, naturally. So wishing away your time and not being present where you are and just appreciating what you have now, I feel like I almost always look back when I do that and I'm like, damn, I wish I would have appreciated it more. And I wish I wouldn't have wished away my time. And I wish I wouldn't have just been so focused on the next thing that I wasn't even seeing what was right in front of me. I think about this also in the context of my grandparents. I lost my grandpa a couple years ago. I think back to when I was younger and we always used to have family gatherings at my grandparents' house. And I was a kid. I didn't really think to like sit with them and soak up the time I have with them because it's not unlimited. I didn't think about that when I was younger. I didn't think about the fact that there would come a time where I couldn't do this anymore. It just felt like, oh, I'll have this for the rest of my life. But that's not true. There's a timeline for everything, which is very morbid to think about, but nobody is going to live forever, and you're not going to be able to have time with people forever and experiences forever. So it's just so important to soak them up when you have them. I have regrets that I didn't sit and talk to my grandparents more when we were having family gatherings. I would go away with like my cousins or other like younger kids and we would go do stuff. And obviously we didn't want to hang out with all the old people. But now I'm like, fuck, I wish I would have just hung out with the old people. And obviously I can't be mad at myself for that because I was just younger and I was a kid and I didn't really know or think about it. But now that I have lost my grandpa and I literally can't spend any more time with him, there are so many specific examples of like things I'll look back on and be like, I wish I would have done that, or I wish I would have spent more time there, or I wish I would have been more present in this moment. So basically, just don't wish away your time. Don't lose sight of what you have right in front of you by always just being focused on the next thing, because that's pretty much a recipe for looking back on things with regret. And I don't want to do that. I want to feel like I lived, you know? Like, I don't want to look back and be like, damn, I wish I lived. I want to know that I lived and that I soaked things up. This is another thing that I'm definitely not perfect at. I'm still working at this all the time because I always feel like I'm thinking about the future and I'm just like looking forward to whatever is next and I'm worrying about whatever I have to do next. I'm literally not in my own shoes where I'm at right now. I'm not being where my feet are. I'm like two steps ahead at all times, which I really don't like. And that's a really hard habit to break when you do start thinking that way. Being fully present in a moment is actually really difficult. It's one of those things that's just much easier said than done. Like, be present, okay. But actually doing it is a lot harder than just saying, I'm gonna be present. Don't wish away your time. Appreciate the time that you have because, I mean, it has an end. Sorry, but it's true. Anyway, that's it. From me today, I have literally been talking for so long. I'm sweating at this point. That is my birthday recap. I hope you all enjoyed this. I wasn't really expecting to spend as much time on any of this, really, as I did. I tend to just take things and run with them. I don't know how I haven't learned that about myself yet, but I hope you enjoyed. Thank you so much for spending this time with me. Thanks for hanging out. I love hanging out with you guys. Yeah, I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day, wonderful rest of your week, and I will be back next week with a brand new episode. Bye.